Hello and welcome to another episode of Cavell Cloud Conversations. As always, I'm your host, Finbogud Begley, Senior Research Analyst at the Cavell Group. So I'm joined today by Joel Chimondis, CEO of Nuvius UC. Hi, Joel. How are we doing?
I'm great, Finbar. Thanks for having me here today as well.
Yeah. So Joel, you've been in the industry quite a long time. Why don't you introduce yourself, introduce Nuvius UC, let the listeners know a little bit about you.
Thanks, Finbar. So Joel Chimondis, as you say, I've been in distribution now since the late 90s. I won't do a full potted career on this podcast because it will take too long. But needless to say, I've always been involved in specialist distribution. When I first started out, we were selling multi-headed graphics cards and speakers with monitors on the side and video editing cards. And then I got involved with a little company called Intel, who released a video system called ProShare, who then sold that to PictureTel. So I became involved with PictureTel, and then PictureTel were bought by Poly, and then we distributed their solutions. And this was a distributor called Amago. So after that, I've spent my career, as I say, mostly in distribution, normally involved in either video solutions, collaboration solutions, or UCaaS, or cloud-based solutions as well. I joined Nuvius UC 13 months ago now. Wow, that's gone quick. A fantastic business. Like a lot of businesses in the last 12 months, the industry hasn't been overly kind to us. It's been a bit of a roller coaster, depending on which parts of our business you look at. And that conforms to the market trends we've seen in the UK. And I'm sure we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But actually, where you look at Nuvius UC now, it's really clearly us to see that our strategy focuses in five key areas. And that's around spaces. So around video collaboration solutions and the associated technologies, telephony solutions, UCaaS, CCaaS, and then underpinned by services as well. And of course, all of our business is via the channel. We do nothing direct with end users. All of our business is directly through the channel. And we have coverage in UK, France, Benelux, and also DACH as well.
So you mentioned the channel, and obviously all of your business is going through the channel. So I guess that brings us to the question. A lot of our listeners end up working with the channel themselves, and they found that it's been changing a lot recently. Would you agree with that? Like, how do you think the channel is evolving right now? What's that progression look like?
Yeah, I think if you look back to the beginning of time around IT, right, there's the channel has always existed. To take a step back globally, over 75% of business, IT business globally flows through the channel today. So this idea that the channel's going to come to its end, or it's going to lack value, simply isn't true, right? Because the channel continues to evolve, and the channel evolves to meet the needs of end users. And that's super important, right? When products become mature or commoditized, there's always something else that happens, and there's some good examples of that that's happened in our industry, which we can talk about. But the channel will always have a role in providing value, and value comes in different flavors, but providing value to end users.
Exactly. I mean, one of the things Cavell is running into a lot through its own research at the moment, especially with the growth of things like AI, which I'm sure we'll talk about a bit later, is this notion that, you know, solutions are getting more complex every year. They're getting more converged. Not only are channel providers having to work harder to sell things because they have more capabilities, they're expected to do more, but end users don't actually understand the solutions as well as they would have when they were simpler. So the channel is being forced to take on this burden, which vendors don't really want, of not only management and productization, but also education and almost consultancy in some ways. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, totally. Let me give you a little example there, if I may, which is, if you took a telecoms reseller or an AV reseller as an example, since the beginning of time, that partner clearly needed skills in their specialist area. And then around 2007, something started to happen, and that was those devices started to be integrated onto networks, which meant that partners then had to deliver IT and security and networking skills. And then if you fast forward a few more years, around 2016, 2015, we started to see the birth of the platform. So that's when we really started to see Microsoft Teams come to fruition. Zoom had been around a little bit before then. Of course, Link and OCS was around previously, but Teams really started to become more mainstream, which meant that a reseller then needed to have skills in platform, i.e. understanding how the devices integrate into platforms. Move forward to then what happened in COVID, and actually what happened then is that we were being told by our reseller partners that what was now needed was skills around people. And that's understanding how the technology is going to make people's lives or employees' lives easier or more stressful. And I had so many partners tell me that now they went, when they went to meetings, HR were now involved in that decision making around IT to really understand that. If you skip forward to where we are now, though, and there's now a new attribute here to consider, and that's of course that one of around AI, but more importantly, it's around productivity. So to take your question, if you imagine, and just to summarize that, if you imagine you were a partner and originally your skills were you were fantastically brilliant at delivering AV, telco or video collaboration, and now you've got all this great big other portfolio of skills that's needed to deliver a solution, that becomes much more complex to be able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And how would you say that's changed the skills required at your own company as well? I mean, have you had to take on like new staff, new departments? Like what have you had to do to respond to that?
Yeah, good question. I think for us, you know, at Nuvia, as you see, it's been around making sure that we are developing those skills to supplement our partners. As we said before, the channel always evolves, right? So effectively, the role of a partner like us, a distributor like us, should be able to supplement the capacity or the capability of a partner while they're developing to these new areas. So if you look at the investments and the development we've made with our people around how AI is working in, say, CCaaS solutions, as an example, that we work with, or our knowledge around Copilot, or our understanding of telco solutions and UCaaS solutions, we continue to invest in areas around those so we can provide the right level of support to the channel. Now that may be around pre-sales capability, or it may be around implementation or post-sales services to be able to support the channel as well.
In some ways it's about making sure you have the expert ready to hop on the phone before the channel realizes it needs that expert.
Absolutely. I think you know there's It's often hard to invest ahead of the curve, right? When you're doing things, and of course that's something that all businesses, including mine, you know, we have to do, right? You've got to kind of work out when do you invest ahead of the curve, and by the way, you don't always get it right, okay? So, but it's important to be able to do that to then be ready to support the channel in the right way.
Absolutely. Moving on then, I guess, to the question of AI. Everyone's talking about it. We should talk about it a little as well, as it is just working to, I guess, transform the industry that we work in, especially. So I guess, I mean, from your perspective, what are you seeing it bring to the businesses that you're working with and you're selling into? I mean, how is it changing your corner of the space?
Yeah, I can't believe we've got 7 or 8 minutes in and that's our first real mention of AI, right? So 12 months ago, I presented at our customer event, Tech Talks, and I've been in the business about a month. And this was, bear in mind, 12 months ago, so 2023, April. And I talked about what AI was going to do in the following 12 months, i.e. the last 12 months. And I talked about how AI is going to be there to help schedule meetings. It's going to provide better meeting equity for video conferencing. It's going to provide great coaching in CCaaS environments for sales agents, better chatbot experiences, all of these things. And then, of course, 2 weeks ago, I presented in our latest Tech Talks event, and all these things are now in place, right? All these things have already happened, right? So the pace of change that we're experiencing right now with AI technology being included in so many different other technologies is just huge. But the reality is, we're just at the beginning, as we know, right? We are just at the beginning. Now, whether that's, you know, how Copilot has been integrated, whether it's Zoom AI from Zoom, whether it's the way Five9 have integrated AI into their platform around CCaaS, you know, the ability to deliver increased productivity, more efficient productivity, is what AI is really driving. And that's what I believe we need to focus on rather than the technology. Technology is important because of security and compliance and privacy, yeah. 100%. But really, I think we have to be focused on what are the productivity gains of AI and how do we help people understand that.
And where do you see that productivity currently rolling out? Is it mostly in the channel, or is it filtering down to the end customer? I mean, how do you see it playing out in terms of, is it everywhere, or is it mostly meetings?
I don't think it's everywhere at all in a minute. And I think if you look at, I mean, Microsoft are publishing some, you know, phenomenal figures around Copilot use as an example. And you would expect that in the enterprise sort of space. I think the real mark of success where Copilot's really in the muscle is when it's being adopted by SMB businesses as part of the everyday workflow as well. And so, and that point's one just worth laboring for a second, which is Copilot should be integrated in, AI, not Copilot specifically, should be integrated into workflow. So into my daily routine of things that I'm doing. And therefore, it just becomes a very natural part of that. Now, that's working in perhaps mid-market and enterprise so far in certain areas, but it hasn't penetrated, I would say, SMB yet. And that's really where the success will come. And that's going to take a couple of years for that to really start to happen. It could be whether it's because it's price prohibitive at the minute. It's quite expensive, Copilot, in its first iteration. But when it really gets into that workflow is when it becomes really kind of beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, so we talked about productivity and productivity gains. I mean, how is the rate of change? This is a good question. How is the rate of change affecting the channel? Because we talked previously about how the channel needed to upskill, handle the issue of convergence. And now we've got the fact that AI is causing rapid rate of change in the channel as well, and potentially causing knock-on problems against that skills issue that you mentioned earlier. So, I mean, how are you seeing that play out? Is the channel responding to it well, or is there still some work to do?
Well, it depends on your question, I guess, which is, do you mean in terms of AI inside their own business for productivity gains, or do we mean in terms of AI providing that as part of a knowledge share with their customers?
Well, that's interesting, because I'm interested in both, but yeah. I guess which do you feel is the most... the area where they have the most work to do, I think.
Undoubtedly both, right? And it's not exclusive to the channel, right? In terms of how you use AI in your own business. I mean, if I look at our own business, right, just as an example, it's how can we deploy AI to make our people more productive? It's as simple as that, right? So it's not because we want to be able to, you know, take loads of cost out of our business. We want to be able to make our people much more productive in doing the things that they should be doing, which is talking to customers and helping customers achieve their goals by us sending them more services. So for us, it's really about driving productivity. And again, to answer your question, we're just at the start, right? You'll see us in the coming months make some, we're making some great investments in AI that's really going to help us in these particular areas, in things like service capability, in terms of training our salespeople, development of people. The second part of the question then is that how do we see the channel providing AI into their end users at the minute? And I think right now, and this is a broad brush statement, right? I think right now it's about having the knowledge and understanding, being ready to answer those questions that are coming from end users. Of course, there will be end users that are very switched on, they're making the leap, they understand what this can do. But I do think a lot will be turning to their channel partners to say, actually, how can this help make me as a business more productive, and how can you advise me on this?
Yeah, and definitely a big regulatory discussion coming up as well. You know,
massive one.
As we see the EU finally getting its grips into what AI actually means in terms of business responsibilities for disclosure, data protection, security. And I imagine there's quite a few companies that are waiting to see what happens with the government before they start deploying the shiny new solution. So
I agree. I think it also depends on the size of business as well, yeah. Right? Just to be pedantic, I think that large enterprises, corporates, etc., of course, will be very concerned about those things. I think the lower, the kind of smaller the end user, some of those concerns are perhaps not as high in the list, and driving productivity would probably be higher over some of those other things.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely true. Yeah, you know, it's good to split it into what the different needs are of the market. It's very easy to get caught up talking about these broad ideas. So I think moving then, just talking about broader trends in communications in the UK, we talked a bit about AI. So let's take AI out of the conversation again, as I like to do. What other trends are we seeing in the UK comms market that kind of stretch out across the
industry? Last year was a bit of a year of contradictions. So when you look at some of the analysis, the data points from last year, when you look at revenue in the UK for video collaboration solutions, hardware video collaborations solutions, the revenue in the channel declined at 25% last year. That's wow. Huge. Yeah. 25% decline. If you look at things like the AV market as an example, the AV market saw a decline of roughly, I think, 18 to 20% in large format displays, which is a good indicator of that AV market as well. So let's just unpick a couple of those, right? So on the first one, on the video market decline, what are we seeing there? Well, actually, what we should also add in, by the way, is that Microsoft have just announced that they have reached 1 million Teams rooms rollout worldwide, right? So some slightly contrasting numbers here. And I think if you look at what's happening in the video market, a lot of people bought equipment post-COVID, didn't roll it out, and have been rolling it out in the last 12 to 18 months. So that has an effect on numbers. Average selling prices have come down dramatically. You know, if you want, you can now go and buy a video collaboration bar for less than $1,000 as well. You know, it will serve a purpose, but it's not the greatest solution for a room of a decent size as well. And then we've seen some new entrants into that market as well. So all of these things have had an effect, and plus also there's been a market slowdown as well. The analysts predict that the video market will roughly flatline in terms of revenue in the next 3 to 4 years as well, right? Which I think is fair.
Yeah, I mean the main driver for that flatline is basically people getting a solution that works. And there was a massive surge post-COVID, and then it's basically going to stabilize because lots of medium-sized companies aren't going to replace a perfectly good piece of video equipment with a new one for until it gets a better solution, until it gets a better upgrade, that kind of thing.
But I think what you'll see happen in that market, and it's only started now, and I'm really sorry just to bring us back to AI again, which is okay. we've now seen the launch of desktop devices, which... the original one of these was a thing called Roundtable about 10 years ago, right, which wasn't great. But the ones we're now seeing now from people like Logi and Yealink, as an example, are desktop devices that provide meeting equity and a much better experience for people around the table. And there's also going to be some great other advances in technologies there. So the reason I mentioned that is because your point about replacing devices in the meeting room, absolutely correct. But I do think there'll be additional things added to that meeting room to create a much better experience, whether it's interactivity or whether it's around anything that's going to create better meeting equity. I think that's where we'll see some growth in the market.
So we're kind of moving into a, yes, you've got your perfectly good video bar, does the video, it does the sound, everything's good. That's going to last you 5 years, maybe. But here's a new box you could add in that's going to do this. Here's a digitally enabled whiteboard. I'm just throwing out products that could exist. I'm sure you've got some exciting stuff in the back end that you can't talk about yet. But so we're kind of moving into that add-on driven market where, you know, enterprise end users should be expected to be approached with new devices that make their meetings better, not just enable the meeting to happen.
Yeah, and there's been a great trend here, by the way. I know we're talking a lot about video, but there's been a great trend here, which is that during COVID and after COVID, the budget at an end user level was given to the IT department. And the IT department were told, go out, please, and equip every meeting room you can with video. So I need you to take control of it. Here's the budget, and I need 300 meeting rooms with video in. IT's criteria, in roughly this order, is... secure, cost-effective, easy to manage, same experience for everybody, and then probably an overall user experience afterwards, right? In that sort of order. So what's happened is these devices have been installed in the meeting room, users are now coming into the meeting room, and the user has a different set of criteria to that. The user wants to be able to use any platform, that they can. They want to have interactivity. They want a great meeting equity experience. And things like security and manageability is probably a little bit down the line for a user experience. So that's why I think that the video opportunity, that absolutely is one to go back and address the needs of users. And we are seeing that, by the way, with our customers now.
Okay, so that's quite interesting. So we're kind of seeing a trend towards the user voice being heard more in those rooms. And as you said earlier, HR is being brought into the procurement meetings and the RFPs to make sure that what the end user needs is being reflected in what's being purchased.
Absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. And I need to look at some other trends as well. I think the CCaaS market is absolutely, of course, a good one to talk about. And you know, if we bear in mind that the growth numbers, depending again on which report you read, but is between 15 and 18% for the next 3 years, right, which is fantastic growth. And if we look at that and kind of say, well, what's happening in the CCaaS market? We've gone from these really big, huge, ginormous contact center rollouts to now being able to have a CCaaS or a customer experience solution that comes down the scale, meaning that mid-market and smaller customers can now start to roll out CCaaS solutions. And that opens the possibilities for such a wide amount of the channel now to be able to fulfill those. So if you're an end user, let's say you're a marketing company or a PR company of 25 to 30 people, previously, you wouldn't have considered a CCaaS solution, right? You just wouldn't. But now you could and would, because it's going to give a great customer experience when they call into your business and then be able to tie that into data as well.
I think we're coming into an area, we call them customer communicators at Cavell, but we're not entirely happy with the name. I think other people call it converged communications, that kind of trend, where basically loads of people have their teams, they have their UC, they have a collab solution. And it just, you start to, this question of why am I changing platform? Or why could I not be reached through that platform? Why is my customer not reaching me? You know, and that's kind of what we're talking about. It's a scale down of contact centers, taking it out of that huge, I mean, obviously it's not an on-prem PBX anymore, but taking it out of that huge CCaaS solution into the hands of the mid-market, into the hands of the SMB, by basically enabling them to use some of those tools on a smaller scale.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And again, I think we're at the start of this, by the way. I really do. It will take some time for it to be adopted. But it, you know, it's an opportunity for the channel that are servicing that SMB market to show them what's possible. You know, we've got the ISDN switch off thing going on at the minute, which provides either a good catalyst for a conversation around CCaaS as well, in terms of what else can be offered at the same time. But as I say, I think, you know, just coming back, the way that CCaaS market is going to evolve, especially in the mid-market and below, I think is really exciting for the future.
Absolutely. And I mean, we can put this into context in terms of numbers, you know, the number of SMBs in the UK versus the number of large companies.
Yes.
That 20-person business taking on 2 to 3 CCaaS seats, you know, maybe more, it translates into 1 million businesses, it translates into 1 million users. And I mean, that's probably a space you're very excited to explore.
Absolutely right. And also, you know, for the channel, it's a service-rich opportunity, because people still need consultancy in that space. They also need implementation. They need post-sales support as well. So all these things makes it a very exciting opportunity for the channel. It's not just about transacting a license. It's around that services opportunity as well.
Yeah. And of course, combined, looping back into our discussion earlier, as the solutions grow more complex, the role of consultancy in the channel just becomes worth more to the customer in terms of not only selling them something, but also retaining business, becoming a trusted partner who they go to for, you know, technology updates, advice, that kind of role beyond just here's a box, here's a solution, it works. Because the solution should work. We've got all this new fancy technology. It's much better at rolling itself out and deploying itself. The solution working is no longer the question in a lot of cases. It's what's the next solution? What's the more interesting way to do this? What's the best way to use this? You know.
Well, as you know, these solutions. It doesn't matter if you're a 10-man SMB or a 50,000 corporate enterprise. They become mission critical to your business.
Yeah.
So if you're going to roll out a CCaaS solution, it needs to work each and every time, because the second it doesn't, and your customer gets a bad experience, you know, that's a terrible reading. So they need to be able to have a channel that can support them in making sure it does work each and every time. And if when it doesn't work, it can get fixed really quickly.
Absolutely. Well. So as we start to wrap up, I mean, let's focus back in on, you know, Nuvius UC itself. You know, what are like your big things that you're doing to move forward in this space at the moment? Like, what are your sort of headline things you'd like to talk about, people should take away and think about, you know, your company when they're thinking about it?
Yeah, thanks for the question and the opportunity. So we've recently restructured Nuvius UC into effectively five business units. And those five business units, I think I mentioned at the beginning, was one around spaces, which is around collaboration solutions and associated solutions around that. The second is around telephony. The third is around UCAS and our partnerships with people like Zoom in that space. And then fourth is around our UCAS, our CCAS offering as well. And then our fifth is our services business. And so we've gone really deep into these different specialist business units where we've got great understanding of the market. We've got great technical capabilities inside those SBUs as well. And so as a business, we've decided to go much more specialist in each of these areas as well, which we think really helps support the channel in terms of the growth of all the areas we've been speaking about for the last 20 minutes. So we underpin that with our services business, as I said, and our services business is there to extend the capacity and the capability of our partners. And therefore, in each of those four other SBUs, the services business runs alongside those. So our focus is making sure that we're working with our partner set and really helping them capitalize on the opportunities in those spaces around spaces, telephony, UCAS and CCAS.
Brilliant. I mean, that all sounds very, very exciting. Obviously, if you want to hear more, you can go to the Nuvius UC website, read up about the company, get in touch. If you want to, you know, if you have any questions for Joel, I'll say to get in touch with me and I can pass them along rather than, you know, try to give out some way to contact him. But maybe, you know, if you've got a big enough question, you can find him on LinkedIn or something like that.
Absolutely right.
As always, thank you for listening. It's been a really interesting podcast. And of course, thank you, Joel, for joining us. I think we've had a really great chat. There will be more podcast episodes probably in about next week, 2 weeks. Patrick and I are doing big discussions on how consumers view CX, and we're talking about more investment topics and lead to Cavell Invest next month. So do tune in and we'll speak to you all soon. All right, perfect.
Good, excellent.
Was that good?
Great. Yeah. Well, from your perspective, okay?
No, I thought it was really interesting. I think there's a lot of meat in there that people will find interesting for sure.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Enjoyed it. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.